Scott Pioli. And Scott, first of all, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me, guys. Appreciate it. Nothing but what else could we be doing here at 9 well, 45?
You could be outside hobnobbing with some more of your fellow GM, your executive types.
We pulled this man away from a party, for God's sakes, to join us.
No, I came willingly. Trust me. I would much rather be with the two of you.
One Snickers bar or something we can pay you. So let's cut to business here. As far as these meetings are concerned, not a ton of hot topics that can be discussed in a lot of detail, and the CBA being one of them. The commissioner addressed that a little bit today. But rules proposals, the overtime change for postseason that's being discussed. Where are you or the Chiefs in general on this, and talk about maybe the process of how a team gets to a conclusion of how it's going to vote?
Yeah, and I think we're in the process of that right now, Vic, because we've gotten some of the information has come in, and what happens is when something like this comes to the table and you sit in the group with 31 other teams and everyone's giving their ideas, their thoughts, their input, you get a lot more information on it because sometimes those things come up in a think tank of a group of people, and until it gets outside and there's additional questions asked, if we're talking about possibly doing this for the postseason, what about the regular season? Why wouldn't there be, why wouldn't we do it for the regular season, put coaches in a position to only do it for the postseason? So there's a lot of questions that come up at this point in time.
Sure.
And a lot of that's going on. And until the whole thing's fleshed out, we really don't know where we stand. And you go into these events like this sometimes and you think you know where you stand, but when you hear some other perspective, and one thing about this, you've got 32 teams here, you got four or five people from each team, there's a lot of very smart people in this room and a lot of very different opinions, and a lot of you've got young people like myself, and then you've got people who are much more experienced, been around the league a lot more, have a lot more experience in the game. You get more opinions and better thoughts, and we eventually make decisions. So we haven't made a full decision where we're at on it.
Scott, I have to be honest. I'm not blowing smoke here. I really believe that the Kansas City Chiefs are one of the most improved teams this offseason when it comes to what you've been able to do in free agency, not only adding players but being able to re-sign some of your players. Mm-hmm. You bring back a Mike Vrabel. You bring back a Chris Chambers.
Right.
How do you go ahead and look at what your team has been able to do in free agency and among re-signing your own players so far?
And I think that you touch on a really important part of free agency that normally gets lost is part of free agency is re-signing your own players and some of your better players. You mentioned Mike and you mentioned Chris Chambers, but there's also, Terrence Copper was an important signing for us. He, our special teams improved. We moved from, I think it was 29th in the league up to about 12th in the league in special teams, and Terrence Copper was one of our best special teams players. We were able to re-sign him as well and get him. And then free agency started for us early. And with the addition of a group of new coaches, we brought in not just Romeo and Charlie, but we were able to bring in Bernie Parmalee and Otis Smith and Anthony Pleasant. And we've reshaped this football operation between coaching and players quite a bit. And so, like I said, free agency started with us early with the coaching, but now we've added a couple of other players and re-signed the ones that we wanted.
Scott, on the subject of coaches, and you mentioned some of the new people coming in, but especially you made reference to Romeo Crennel coming in. Talk about the challenge that you face as an organization, and you in particular as a GM, in getting personnel tailored to the coaching philosophy of, say, a Romeo Crennel with his version of the 3-4. What goes into that, and what are the key ingredients that you need to have there to help make it work?
Right, and there's a couple of differences. Everyone hears the 3-4, and everyone thinks that it's one particular style of 3-4, and there's different types of 3-4. And what we do with our 3-4 defense and the defense that I'm most accustomed to and spend most of my time with under, Bill Belichick and Bill Parcells, and then back with Bill Belichick, it's all from that same family. And we look for, the outside linebackers that are different than Dick LeBeau's outside linebackers and the group of people running more of a one gap and type of 3-4. So the players that we look for are a little bit different from their physical dimension standpoint. And we're now in a position where I'm back looking for the guys I've been looking for, for 17 of the 19 years I've been working in the NFL. So I know exactly what Romeo is looking for and the type of player. And so the makeup of the individuals has always remained the same, but sometimes with different tweaks with different coaches, they're looking for different kind of players. The interesting part was, I had this conversation a couple of weeks ago with somebody, and we were talking about how when we had first gone to New England, And at the Patriots, we had the market cornered on the type of three, four defensive players that we were looking for. Al Groh was still at the Jets, but there was a very small, you know, there was the Patriots and the Jets were looking for the same kind of players because Bill Parcells wasn't in the league. You know, Eric hadn't taken over his team. So it changed. Then all of a sudden, Mangini's a head coach. Right. Nick Saban's a head coach. Bill Parcells is back in the league. There's us. So we went from being one or two teams looking for our kind of three, four players to all of a sudden there's six teams in the league looking for the same type of player, which made things a little bit difficult to find.
And you're replacing over the last couple of years, you've got, or not about replacing, but making it work one way or another with first or second round picks that have been 4-3.
Exactly
choices.
Right. You know, Tom Mahali, who actually did a nice job of making the transition this year. He was a 4-3 defensive end, and who this now all of a sudden for us became a 3-4 outside linebacker. Mm-hmm. And a couple of other players, Glenn Dorsey and Derek Johnson, all first round picks that are having to adapt to the defensive that we're playing and we were trying to play last year and are going to continue to play.
Scott, it seems like in this draft you have maybe three, four, maybe five marquee players, and then the talent level just seems to be so flat across the board in terms of value. It just seems like a really deep draft where the real value is. Lauren, can you just maybe assess it? You pick a number five. Go ahead and please assess this draft where you think it stands now.
Well, I think, and right now we're sitting at number five. That's right. Where we plan to pick. That can change. You never know what's going to happen. And I think the interesting thing, you use a very important word, I think, in the whole that's very important in the personnel world. It sometimes gets confused with whether or not a player is a good player. There's a small number of marquee names and marquee-type players. Whether or not they become and or are good football players, it's just like the conversation we've had about free agency. There's some marquee names out there. Marquee names don't necessarily translate to guys being good and or productive football players. But this appears to be a very, very solid draft for a number of different positions. And how this is all going to unfold, I'm not sure, but I'm excited about it. Well, I'm excited we have we have two number two picks, so we're going to be busy. We got three picks in the top 50.
Is it? You can feel free to answer this if you want. But what are the positions that are deepest in your opinion?
Well, I think offensive line is pretty strong. I think the defensive line has a couple of good players. The secondary, I don't know if there's a weak position really. There's solid picks all across the board.
When talk about quarterback position, is that weak or is that where do you see it?
Well, I think, again, I haven't spent a ton of time studying the top quarterbacks, but based on what I have seen in terms of doing in-depth studies,
sure.
It's a pretty solid group. It's a pretty solid. I think there's a number of players in there that are going to be very solid pro quarterbacks.
You'd mentioned earlier that a lot of this discussion, at this meeting is regarding labor. From a club executive standpoint, I mean, it's your owner who's got to deal. I know it's an issue to you too, but real quick, is it something that in 10 seconds, is it something that you got to pay attention to but can't really do a whole lot about in your capacity?
And, it's a great point because it's like many other things in this league. You're aware of it. You know what's going on. You can't spend a lot of time or energy on it because you can't control it. Just understand that there's going to be rules put in place. There's going to be certain things to do. And just be ready to adapt and adjust and perform and execute when they're there for you.
Spoken like a true communications major, undergraduate and graduate, folks. Just so you know, he's got that background too. Scott Pioli, thank you so much for joining us. We greatly appreciate it.
My pleasure, guys.
All right, general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs.